So yeah, Minnesota. That was interesting.
Tough state to poll. No IVR, no e-poll, just an online sample, right?
Yeah, so we usually don't, you know, Indiana and Minnesota, those are states without IVR. And, you know, you have to rely on an online panel in those. But with that said, it just kind of adds to the challenge in, you know, on those home courts of what you need to be able to do. So I think we got to kind of look at those numbers and figure out, you know, how we misinterpreted or how better to interpret or adjust what we call weighting those type of results. You know, and we'll get another stab at it for the general election. So looks like potentially that Senate race and governor's race might be worth taking a look at.
Oh,
again.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But I mean, I'd like to point out that NBC, their numbers also were, I'd say, even worse than ours. They had plenty up by 20 points. So I don't think it was
just us.
Yeah,
I don't really compare us to other folks. we only look forward. But with that, it was interesting. One, that was interesting, though, how Pawlenty, he's kind of that moderate Republican from yesteryear.
Yes.
Right. That he I feel just... like this is another example of just Trump's influence because, you know, Pawlenty really came out even after the Access Hollywood tapes and was like, no, anti-Trump. And I think Johnson really just took that and ran away with it. Even though he himself has criticized Trump, it certainly wasn't to the extent of Pawlenty. And I think, again, we're just seeing how, you know, Trump really influences voters.
I thought Johnson ended up really putting himself as the Trump candidate.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's a winning formula in these Republican primaries. We've seen that now for
over and over again. We've seen that happen.
So in that strategy, he probably was, you know, obviously he wins the battle. Now the question is, can he double down on that type of strategy in a general election out in Minnesota?
It's definitely possible. I mean, Trump got a lot closer to winning that state than most people thought he would.
Yeah, I mean, it was a point and a half that would have been the, you know, moving all over the whole Midwest. But
yes.
I guess with that said, if you take a look at the turnout last night, it was about a 65% turnout for Democrats versus 35 for Republicans. So, you know, that extra quarter of a million people coming out on the Democratic side might, you know, bode well for Democrats, because obviously there's a whole bunch of those congressional races worth, you know, keeping an eye on as well in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's the one place Republicans can kind of like go on the offensive because they have those two open seats.
What else did you guys find on Tuesday night?
Well, so Wisconsin was basically what we had. Evers versus Walker. It's kind of went with the polling. And we had a really close race for the Republican nominee for Senate, right, against...
that was Nicholson.
Vukmir and Nicholson.
Yeah, yes. And then Vukmir was able to pull it out. Do you guys think... Do you guys have any idea where I or any thoughts why she was able to win?
I mean, we were looking at that when we were looking at the polling, even when it was 35 up, you know, when push came to shove, it looked like out of the likely voters, they were breaking towards Vukmir. Mm. So that was part of that analysis, but really could have gone either way. She was up large when that whole, you know, she won in Milwaukee, basically.
Gotcha. Yeah, if you look at the map,
you know,
she won the eastern half.
I mean, it was interesting to see Iron Stash. He, that started off, you know, when the first few thousand votes came in within 5-6 points, but he took that.
Yeah, he took and ran with it.
Yeah, I think by 20 or something.
It's 19, yeah, something like that. It was 59 to 40, I believe. Was the
so, yeah, so you got a big governor's race, obviously, with Evers now in Walker. What's your thoughts on that?
I'm really excited to see. I mean, both of these candidates have their experience in education because we have Evers, who's the school superintendent of the state, and then Scott Walker, who had that very controversial Act 10, I think it was in 2011, and that really reduced a lot of union power for teachers' unions. So now he's trying to come out and say that he's like a pro-education governor, which I think Evers could really capitalize on, but it'll be interesting to see how Scott Walker can take that narrative any further.
And Scott Walker has won, I think, three very competitive races before in 2010, 2012, and 2014, and Democrats all thought they had a shot in those years, and they all lost. So it's going to be interesting if they can really pull it off this time.
But what's awesome about Evers is that he's already won state elections.
Yes.
So, yeah. You know, he does have that experience and maybe name recognition.
Well, I'll just point out again, last night, or Tuesday night, when you look at the turnout, the unofficial numbers, the Democrats in their primary were about 55% versus 45% for the Republicans. Mm-hmm. So you say, well, that's fairly close. But if you look at 2016 in the presidential primary, the Republicans had a higher turnout than the Democrats. It was 53-47. So it's almost a reversal. And it'll be interesting to see if that momentum keeps up as the voting and the general election. So what do we have coming up this Tuesday?
Well, I was thinking we should poll North Dakota. Not a lot of polling out there, and I think it's going to be one of the closest, most important races for Senate this year, especially because of how small the state is and how Republican it is, but how popular mm-hmm. Heidi Heitkamp is there as a Democrat.
Yeah, and it's really interesting to see Heidi Heitkamp's campaign, like, ads. You know, she talks a lot about voting with Trump, which is really interesting to hear any Democrat kind of talk about that. But as Cole said, this is such a large Republican majority that it really might hopefully work in her favor.